It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
You know what? Nothing like a weekend with some interesting news. Breaking news this morning from your New Orleans Saints. We'll get to that here quickly at the start of the show. A fun-filled show for you, but first...
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend. It's Friday.
Another beautiful afternoon welcomes you to New Orleans. Mid-70s, Jordan. Shorts, short sleeve shirt, absolutely beautiful. It's going to be like that over the next weekend. You going to put up some Christmas decorations this weekend? You doing it? What?
Oh,
doing
homework.
It. Homework? No. You do more homework than anyone I know, by the way. Seriously.
Do you know any other college kid?
No. Okay. Anyway, we got plenty to get into on the show today. Yikes. How do you feel about a certain decision head coach Sean Payton has made? Are you surprised? You probably shouldn't be. Right? Taysom Hill. Looks like he's going to be a stud per multiple reports. Sunday against your dreaded Atlanta Falcons. Saints favorites going into that game. We'll talk a little bit about that. Coming up next segment, Jared Weiss. He covers the Celtics for The Athletic, Jordan. He wrote a really nice piece, a detailed piece on Kyra Lewis, the brand new New Orleans Pelican point guard. So we'll talk with him next segment to get an idea of what the Pels are getting in their new guard at 12:30. Deuce Windham of The Athletic. He does X's and O's. I'll ask him, what exactly is Taysom Hill bringing to the starting lineup? How do you think Sean will use him for the entire game? Because it's kind of interesting to me. Adam Schefter earlier this morning, Ian Rappaport, you name it. Everyone was tweeting about it nationally. But what was interesting to me in Adam Schefter's tweet was that his sources, Jameis Winston's not in a single package. Taysom Hill is your quarterback. At first when the news broke, Jordan, honestly, initially, what did you say? I'll tell you initially what I thought. I'm not buying it. I'm thinking that's all Sean doing it. And then all of a sudden, everyone starts coming out with those reports. Winston hasn't taken a single snap with the ones the entire week. So now you have to believe is that Sean being Sean, making the Atlanta Falcons go, oh no, we've been preparing all week for Jameis. It's time to prepare for Jameis, for Taysom. Or legitimately, do you think Wednesday they walk out at practice, Taysom Hill took all the reps with ones? Also, what's interesting in the initial tweet was, you know, when you read how it was reported, right? Like Ian Rappaport's tweet, intriguing in New Orleans. The Saints have given quarterback Taysom Hill starter reps in practice this week, source said. So while Jameis Winston took over for injured Drew Brees last week, signs are pointing towards Hill getting his first NFL start at quarterback if all checks out after practice. When I read that initially, and this was 3 hours ago when everything started hitting, Jordan, I read that, I'm like, well, what does that mean? If all checks out, what if he makes it back to the locker room after practice? If it checks out, either he is or he isn't. It's Friday. You've already gone through two full practices of install. You either know or you don't. So again, that's why I'm thinking, I wonder if this is a little misinformation or a little, what does a starter really mean, Jordan? The first snap of the game? First series, first 3-4 plays, and here comes Jameis. I get what I'm getting at when I was reading it, something of that nature. And then you start thinking about it. Okay, well, is it a logical reason to it? You go back to the contract. We always have a caller that loves to call us every week and remind us of the Taysom Hill contract. $21 million in the offseason. Sean Payton has repeatedly said Taysom Hill is the guy. He's been telling everybody, right, the last 2 years, the next starter's in the building. All right. They're going with it. Now, I did say this week, Jordan, if you remember, I said, of the two quarterbacks, it shouldn't be a contest as to who knows the offense the best, right? I mean, by virtue of literally A, being here longer, B, he goes to more position group meeting rooms than Jameis Winston because of all the different positions that Taysom Hill plays. Whether it's receiver, tight end, running back, quarterback. I mean, I have to imagine Taysom can close his eyes and spit out a play and know what it is, right? You would think. So maybe that's a reason behind it. But again, since that 3 hours ago, Nick Underhill of New Orleans Football has written, and Ian Rappaport retweeted that, by the way, quote, the case for starting Taysom Hill instead of Jameis Winston. So if you can go read that and check that out. Several other people, Mike Triplett, ESPN.com, Jordan, he also put it there as well.
Yeah, Taysom. Not Jameis Winston to start at QB for New Orleans Saints.
There you go. So, again, I'm going to say I am going to have at least a percentage of I want to wait and see when I see it on Sunday, right? Now, after the kickoff, Saints take the field. It's their first offensive possession. I want to see. And then by the end of the game, does Taysom Hill get more starting minutes? Or more reps at quarterback, more snaps than Jameis. Now, I was thinking about this. It's something we've talked about this week, Jordan. It's something we've talked about this week. If Taysom is not the starter and it's Jameis Winston, the role. Remember, we were talking about the role. What's the role of Taysom Hill? Maybe this is why they're going to go this route. Again, I'm trying to look at it logically, Jordan. If Jameis Winston is your starter, by virtue of the fact that Taysom Hill is your backup, I can't really use him nearly as much as I would like to or in the ways I would like to, because if he gets injured, then Gumbo, I guess, is your backup, right? Sir Saint, get out there, son. So I kind of lose that element. I lose two things, actually. I lose, of the quarterback room, the next person with the most knowledge of my offense, correct? If I don't have him on the field. B, I lose whatever he's being able to provide me on the football field, which is running the football, occasionally throw. He's that whole Joker mentality. I can use him sort of like you're seeing some of the new age quarterbacks. Well, if he's on the sideline holding the quote-unquote clipboard, which I don't think they do that anymore, but let's say they do that, then I'm losing that as well. So maybe Sean Payton just sat there and said, you know what? Start. Because if he plays, then I have both of those elements. I actually do have somebody that knows the offense as good as Drew. Maybe not to that level and extent, but he should know it. You understand what I'm saying? He should know the plays, and I can still run and do what I'd like to do with Taysom, with him in the game. And if he gets injured, well, I have my backup quarterback ready to go. I mean, that's got to be the reason why you're going this way, isn't it?
No.
No? Because, well, you tell me why, then you're going with Taysom Hill and not James.
All right,
Winston.
Well, look back a year ago. What was a year ago? Drew Brees in thumb injury.
Mm-hmm.
Same situation.
Mm-hmm.
You had Teddy. You had to pick between Teddy or Taysom Hill.
Okay.
You stuck with Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay. Well, so what's your point?
Why'd you go with Teddy Bridgewater instead of Taysom Hill?
Because he's a starter, and he's had more starts than Taysom Hill. Why did you go with Teddy? Why do you think they went with Teddy?
Well, no.
You don't even know what your argument is, do you?
No, this is about – no, because you're arguing that he had more snaps. Well, Jameis Winston has had more snaps at starting quarterback than Taysom Hill.
Not
than
in
Taysom
offense,
Hill.
Though.
Same with Teddy Bridgewater when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference?
That's why I'm asking you. So you tell me why Taysom Hill starting. You didn't like any of my reasons. I don't think you paid attention, quite honestly.
No, I did.
Because you're arguing with me, you don't even know what your argument is.
I'm arguing.
Simple question. Why is Taysom Hill starting in your mind?
I honestly don't know why Taysom Hill started.
Oh, no. So you don't know. You can't make a case, an argument, huh?
I don't know why Taysom Hill started.
800-998-1003. Anybody tell me why you think Taysom Hill is starting. My logical conclusion is that. I think if he's on the sideline, I lose certain things. And in the quarterback room right now, he knows the most of the offense. Again, and this is if that's where it's going to go. There's still a part of me, call me, you know, I don't know, heart, you know, not a non-believer. Okay, all right. I want to wait to see it until I see it.
But that's where,
I'm not ready to say that he's going to take every single snap at quarterback and not Jameis Winston.
I guess that's where it's confusing.
Maybe that's just me.
I think that's where it's confusing is you're making the argument, oh, you want to still have Taysom Hill, but you didn't use Taysom Hill as much. I remember the storyline being, oh, well, you can't use Taysom Hill
because
as much.
He because he was your backup.
Correct.
Right. If he's your starter, then you're using him. If he gets hurt, you have somebody to back him up in Jameis Winston. Do you understand what I'm getting at?
And Jameis
Winston is on the field and he's playing.
I know.
And both of them are playing. And on second and four, Jameis goes out to the wide receiver position and Taysom runs left guard and gets popped and concussed.
All right, then why not do that? Then why not do that last year?
Okay, I understand, but you're not hearing what I'm saying right now.
I know.
You're not hearing what I'm saying right now. Because you didn't pay him $21 million. You didn't tell him that he might be a starter. You didn't tell him any of that. What I'm saying is...
Well, then there's my reason, because you paid him a large
so you
contract.
Think, okay, so that you finally came up with your reason.
It's a contract.
The contract is
the
telling you,
yes.
All right, get out there, son, and let's
then
see what you
that's
got.
That's my reason.
Okay.
If that's the whole point of why he's starting, instead of like last year.
Okay. I guess we're going on the phone lines. Cajun Goat, what you got, man?
I believe he's starting because of the simple fact he knows the offense better.
Yep.
And number two, when Teddy started... Teddy was in his second year with the Saints. Jameis hasn't even got a nickel down as far as what the Saints offense is. And remember, Jameis almost threw an interception last week right down the middle of the field. And is that because he doesn't know the offense yet? I think it's more because Taysom knows the offense. Mm-hmm. Taysom's more comfortable. And I don't know what this is about this guy can't throw the ball. If you remember his last preseason games, man, he was pretty damn accurate with the ball. So I have all the confidence in the world that Taysom Hill is right now the better quarterback than Jameis to start the game. So I really believe that Teddy had 2 years under his belt. That's why he started over Taysom. And you can use Taysom in that role as long as Teddy didn't get hurt. So I really believe it's more about the knowledge. Remember, Winston never got a preseason with this team. So, I mean, there's a lot of knowledge of the offense he doesn't know yet. So let's go from there.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Cajun Goat. So he says knowledge. That's what I'm saying. To me, logically, you lose two things if he stays on the sideline. He's a guy that knows the offense best next after Drew Brees. Secondly, I can't use him as much because if Jameis gets hurt and I get hurt with him, I don't know who my backup is. Jack, thank you for giving us a call here. You got about 2 minutes. What you got?
Okay, I'll do it quick because I want to talk about Tulane a little bit too. But look, I who knows why Sean Payton makes a decision, but I have to think some of it's ego. You know, they've been hearing most of the local people here that cover the team and the national people don't believe, Taysom Hill can be a quarterback. Payton's really the only one that just won't give up on this. So maybe he's trying to make a point. It's hard to believe he put the whole season on the line for that. On the other hand, the guy before me kind of said it. You know, Jameis is Jameis. Sometimes he just throws the ball up for grabs, and maybe he doesn't feel. Maybe Payton doesn't feel comfortable with the fact that sometimes, you know, Jameis just puts the ball in harm's way, and he don't want to lose the game that way. So, but Gus, about the Tulane game last night. Look, I've been a Tulane fan for a long time. Okay, they've lost games in a lot of different ways. That had to be one of the most heartbreaking, gut-wrenching losses that I can recall. Maybe it's because it's the most recent. Could you please explain to me how they can play great defense on first and second down, and when it's third and forever, which is where most defensive coordinators want the other team to be, they give up those plays. And who is it on? Is it on the defensive backfield coach? I mean, how do you give up a touchdown on 4th and 40 to win the game?
Jack, I can tell you, being a part of that broadcast last night, it was probably one of the most difficult post games we've had to do to try to even come up with answers and what to even say and talk about. Multiple fourth down conversions to for them to tie the game. The Hail Mary you're talking about, which is 37 yards. You rush three. And look, you had four defensive backs there. They just didn't do their job. You had two Tulsa receivers behind four Tulane defensive backs. And you have one job. If you're going to call a timeout to set up your defense, and that one job of those defensive backs is to not let anybody behind you, why do you rush three? Do you force him to try to throw it sooner because it's going to take a bit to get into the end zone? That's a question. But look, it's not. Look, it's unfortunately a DNA of this season. Houston, Navy, you can tell me it's two different teams and two different offenses, but right. It's – look, it that's going to be a tough one to swallow. And that's as much upstairs as it is on the field. If I mean, that's, you know, I can't. I don't even know how to describe that to be honest with you. And the final play, the pick six, man, honestly, Zevin Collins made an NFL play. I mean, he's an NFL player. He's a playmaker. He read the quarterback's eyes. It's a young quarterback. It's a right call. If he throws the ball a half a foot higher, and a half a foot further, if he throws it in the end zone, Jaquan Jackson's going to catch it easily with no one around him. That linebacker read his eyes the entire time, baited him, picked it off. The young QB never saw him.
Thank you, Gus.
All right, man. Yeah, it was tough. You look at it. They blitzed two linebackers. Hutterson went to pick up the NFL linebacker who stayed back. The other guy pressures the quarterback, throws it a little bit flat, a little straight, a little early into the hands, pick six ball game. It's a rough one. When we come back, Jared Weiss, Celtics writer for The Athletic, have a nice piece on Kyra Lewis. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy, Buick, new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way of saying thanks for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that light new pre-owned any make or model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the web at goldenmotors.com. 325-1000. Golden Motors. Chevy, find new roads.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand-washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24-7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at josepsic@viscom.net.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
On Friday, talking to your New Orleans Saints, which we'll get right back to here at the bottom of the hour. Something to think about, though, over the next few minutes, and that is Alvin Kamara, running back of your New Orleans Saints, went from limited So did not practice yesterday. If Alvin Kamara doesn't play Sunday, is Taysom Hill your best runner back there? So we're going to discuss that with Deuce Windham of The Athletic coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Will Guillory, we talk to him all the time from The Athletic, covers your Pels. Let's go a little up northeast, though. Jared Weiss, Celtic staff writer for The Athletic, joins us because he did some really cool work on your newest Pelican. Jared, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good to talk to you, especially talking to the city where my favorite fantasy football running back hails from.
Was that Alvin Kamara?
Oh, that was Alvin Kamara. Best pick I've ever made in my life.
So you're just as interested as I am if he's playing on Sunday then.
He better be playing. It's going to be a rough week for me if not.
Yeah, see, that's how I look at it. I mean, I normally when you see DNP, didn't participate, didn't practice, however you want to look at it, I go, okay, that's not good on a Thursday, but with him, how about you just rest, and I'll just see you Sunday. How about that? I'll just show up Sunday. There's no reason for me to even see you at the facility unless it's about treatment. Other than that, man, sit at home, play some PS5, you know, hang out.
I guess I could sleep all week. I'll still get you 150 yards on Sunday anyway.
Exactly. I hear you. I want to get to your article, obviously, about the newest Pelican, but it is interesting because there's so much different news. 5 o'clock today, you have free agency and all. A big name up there in Boston, Gordon Hayward's decided to opt out. What do you think's the future for him? Is he coming back wearing green, or is he going somewhere else?
Hoo boy, that seems to be the biggest question in the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I don't know, but what I do know is that the Indiana Pacers are a sign and trade possibility that I've been reporting for, I think, a few months at this point. And it seems like there's some steam picking up there as a possibility. It seems that the Pacers have been exploring options to try to make the sign and trade package work with the Celtics and try to lure Hayward into a situation that he would be really happy with there in Indiana. But if that doesn't come to fruition, unless one of these teams with cap space, and none of them are good teams, they're all, you know, the Hawks are the only team with cap space that seems like they have a real shot at the playoffs next year, and they certainly don't have a shot at contention next year. Mm-hmm. If any of them want to make a huge offer him like 4 years, 25 a year, or 3 years, 30 million, something pretty remarkable. It was way beyond what you would expect for somebody that's had so many injury concerns. I could see him taking that, but unless they're making those gigantic offers, I do think that there is definitely a pathway for him to stay in Boston. That's the most likely outcome.
You know, one of the things that is interesting, you just think of obviously his time there. I mean, injuries just stink. You know, obviously you don't plan on him. You don't want him to be that way. And I guess if you're a Celtic fan, you never really got to see the Gordon Hayward that you saw before he got to Boston.
Yeah, they did. You know what? It was the first few weeks of last season, mm-hmm. before he ended up breaking his, I think it was a finger or hand, bumping into LaMarcus Aldridge on a pretty inconsequential play. Before that happened early in the season, he was on fire. He was like dropping 23 a night. He was flying all over the place. He was hitting every shot. He looked like not just the Gordon Hayward we used to know. He looked like the actual prime Gordon Hayward that we were hoping to see develop in his time in Boston. But then he got hurt. He came back. He had to fit into an offense that had kind of evolved a little bit without him. And he still ended up having a really good season. As the fourth option on the offense, he still scored 17 points a game. He had shot 50% from the field, shot pretty well from three, well from the line. Like, he had a good season, but it wasn't the great season we were hoping for. It's very possible that this year is the year where he really fits it all together. He's really at his prime now. He's several years away from the injury, so he really is at his physical peak. I do expect this season to be a really good year for him. So whoever is paying for him, they're going to be getting at least 1 year's worth of a player that's really worth the money.
Very good point here as well. Jared Weiss covers the NBA and, of course, the Celtics for The Athletic. That's one of the storylines. I still gut-wrenching, just as an NBA fan, poor Klay Thompson, Achilles tear yesterday. So it'll be interesting what the Warriors sort of do. But, look, obviously here we're paying attention, seeing where the Pelicans eventually will be in their future. And part of that is bringing along, again, continuing young talent. You did a really cool piece on Kyra Lewis. What made you want to, write on him, and what did you learn, from the start about this player?
You know, Kyra was a player that when I started to see what he was doing back in the, back in the beginning of the year in the early college basketball season, I thought this guy looks like a first-round pick in the NBA draft. And he was kind of considered to be a second-round prospect at the time. And as he grew more and more, I started to think, this guy is the prototype for what teams want out of a point guard these days. Mm-hmm. He's really fast. He can pull up from three. He can attack with both hands. And he can make all the reads that you want a point guard to make, a pick-and-roll player. He might not be spectacular as a passer the way Melo Ball is. He might not be a huge physical marvel that can, you know, shake people like crazy and pull off all sorts of really interesting shots the way Killian Hayes does. But he does everything really well on both ends of the court. And I'm really optimistic on him becoming a lottery pick. And sure enough, by the time we got the pre-draft, people had him in the top 20. And then all of a sudden, he started to move up towards the top 10. And I was like, finally, everyone's kind of seeing the vision. And so I was like, you know, I want to do a profile to understand, to try to understand like who he is. Because a huge part of scouting draft prospects is knowing their story, trying to figure out what kind of worker they are, how are they going to handle adjusting to the NBA, are they going to get better, all that kind of stuff. And so I talked to him and his mom at the same time. It was actually a very fascinating call. They were just so fast. It was so incredible talking to them. The way that he was raised, there was so much stuff that was left on the cutting room floor from that story that I think myself and my partner down there, Will Guillory, will definitely explore in the future. But he was raised so well to have great priorities and structure and determination and focus and an incredible work ethic. And then as I started to talk to his coaches and get some unbiased opinions on him, or at least more unbiased than someone's own mother and someone themselves, I mean, they talked about him with more affection than even his own family. They loved him. He was someone who has made such an incredible impact on the people that he's played for and people he's played with. And the story that I led my piece with about how the coach had to leave the keys to the gym in his mailbox because Kyra would show up at the crack of dawn to grab them and get to work before school even started. You know, those are the stories that you hear about the guys that really make it. It really reminded me of when I did the same kind of work on Jason Tatum when he got drafted and heard all these stories about how he would go to the gym at 6 a.m. every single day. The day after he lost the state championship, he got right into the gym. Same thing happened with Kyra, where Kyra, he had a great showing at an AAU tournament when he was a junior in high school, and he was making all the rounds. And his coach said, hey, I heard you did a great job. He said, yeah, it went well, but I want to get in the gym tonight as soon as I land back in town because I got more work to do. And to hear that kind of determination to be coming off of an AAU tournament where you dominated and say, you know what, I realize that as great as I was here, I got more work to do, and I want to get in the gym right away. Those are the kind of guys that really stand out in the pre-draft process as the people that when I project how far can they take their careers, those are the guys that I project are going to take their careers really far. And the Pelicans, I think, hit a real home run on getting a guy that will really maximize his talent.
At Jared Weiss, NBA, to follow Jared on Twitter. The two things that really stood out to me, I loved hearing all that. By the way, I might have raised my hands once or twice when you mentioned Jason Tatum, because you know how many Pels fans in the AD thing wanted him over here. So I love hearing that. But there's two things that stood out in what you said that I think fits a need with this organization and franchise moving forward with young players. That character trait, leadership. So many times last year, guys like J.J. Redick and others said it was the quietest airplane ride he's ever been on. It's just a quiet team. Then you brought up work ethic and in the story about the keys to the gym. Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball were two players that this organization repeatedly, constantly kept saying last year. They're guys that came and did two-a-days. They would practice, go eat, come back, and come practice again. So if you already have a player like that with a guy like Brandon Ingram and some of the other guys that want to work hard, I can see the fit. I can see why this organization was maybe attracted to a player like that, Jared.
Yeah, and you know, to be totally honest with you, while I it's good to hear that Zion and Ingram are working hard, but those guys have never really been projected as the kind of leaders that would build a winning program. They've always been guys that were, I mean, Zion was just this kind of, was kind of surrounded by flash and pomp and circumstances when he was younger. Ingram, a very quiet, reserved guy who's always kind of receded away from the spotlight for the most part. Kyra, I think, is a perfect complement to them in that he is a relatively quiet person. He's not someone that's, he talks with a kind of reserved voice. He's not super boisterous, but he's very confident and very present. And he really was another coach on the floor when he was at Alabama and when he was in high school. And one of the interesting things from the story, actually, is that he basically became an actual assistant coach on the team where when the coaches would have their meetings before games to go over film with each other and develop strategy, they would have Tyra come join them. And I asked around, and people felt that that was actually incredibly rare for a college player, to have a college player actually joining coaches' meetings and being empowered to actually provide input. But that was pretty fascinating. So I think that's going to carry over to his role in New Orleans, where New Orleans is going to look to him, even though he's one of the youngest guys there, to really empower him, to give input into strategy, and to really be the kind of bridge between the coaching staff and the players.
Jared, incredible stuff. Just a little tidbit, folks, of the article you've got to go read over there. At Jared Weiss, NBA is the way to follow. Jared, thank you for your time this afternoon. Trust me, I'm pumped up. I can't wait to see him in a couple of weeks here, man.
I can't wait to see it, too.
Thank you for your time, man. Enjoy your weekend. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too.
All right, quick break. We come back. Deuce Windham of The Athletic. We'll talk a little Saints. The big story looks like Taysom Hill will be your starter on Sunday at Atlanta. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Hey everyone, Gus Cattingill with the Sports Hangover from Men's Total Health. Having paid them a visit at their office in Metairie and speaking with Shane, I've learned so much about the effects of low testosterone and how it's not only physical. You would be surprised at how hormone imbalance can affect your daily life, emotionally, sexually, even sleep patterns. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. Get back to feeling your best with Men's Total Health. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590 to schedule an appointment with Andrea today. They accept all major insurances and tell them you heard it on the Sports Hangover.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
eBay has gifts that say a lot, but don't cost a lot. So save big on a DeWalt drill set for dad that says, "Let's get to work." Tell your all-star niece it's time for takeoff with Air Jordans at not-so-sky-high prices. And get a certified refurbished Bose soundbar for your husband that says, "We're going to need a bigger home theater." Say a lot, save a lot on gifts from eBay for those who mean a lot.
Find out what happens when road rage takes a deadly turn. Rent Unhinged, now available at Redbox, starring Russell Crowe. He's a man whose actions escalate to deadly proportions as he becomes single-mindedly determined to teach a divorced mother a lesson after she impatiently honks at him at a red light. Watch Unhinged, along with other new movies, and make it a Redbox night. Head to one of the 40,000 Redbox locations, stream on your smart TV, or visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
All right, tell me. Give me your reasons, 800-998-1003. At ESPN Radio NOLA as well throughout the show. I think Coach Sean Payton, at least reportedly, is going to take some help. Is it, though? Is it disinformation? Is it because Alvin Kamara got downgraded yesterday? Went from limited practice Wednesday to did not practice, foot injury. If he doesn't play, Taysom Hill maybe your best runner, maybe your best option. Is it option three? What I said in the opening segment, if you have him on the sideline to back up Jameis, you lose the fact that he's probably of the two that knows the offense the most. And B, you can't really use him because you need to be there in case Jameis gets injured. Whereas if you put him in, he gets injured, Jameis can come in for him. I don't know. Reverend Deuce, that's I guess how you can look at it. Rev Deuce Windham on Twitter, Mr. Deuce Windham of The Athletic, joins us to kind of explain his take on things. Deuce, good afternoon to you. How are you?
I am enjoying the fantastic craziness that is Saints 2020. How about you?
I do, too. Here's the thing, right? I think it's brilliant on all aspects. We got a bagel story this week, right? Sean Payton chewing on the bagel. We got all of a sudden this drop on Friday. Well, maybe it's Taysom that's going to be the starter. No packages for Winston. What do you feel here? Is it a little bit of everything, a little disinformation, or are there legit football reasons why Taysom Hill is going to be your quarterback Sunday?
I think there's both there. Here's one thing I think so many people are getting into, and I'm enjoying the social media crackback to this, is, you know, there are sides to this argument that everybody's very passionate about. People support Jameis as a full-time starter, or they really believe Taysom can be that guy. And I think the ultimate thing that gets lost is neither option is wrong in terms of what you're choosing to do. I mean, Peyton's not wrong in starting Taysom, just like he wouldn't be wrong in starting Jameis. It's, you know, capturing the vision of what you have for the game and then simply going full force, because you don't know what either of these guys can do. And truthfully, you're going with the one who's been in the system the longest. You know, when we talk about Teddy taking over, Teddy had a full year to acclimate to the team, and then he had to come in for Drew. You know, Jameis hasn't had the mini camps, the OTAs. He had a little bit of training camp, no preseason. So, you know, it kind of makes sense. Now, this is coming from somebody, I am more of a Jameis guy. I feel like it's more of a I go with the thing I can quantify. You know, you can quantify Jameis Winston. You know what he does good. You know what he does bad. You don't have that with Hill. Hill is the big play guy. You don't know if it's going to be a big bad play, like a fumble out of nowhere. You don't know if it's going to be a 23-yard run on a design pass. And that's the fact you get with Taysom, that unpredictability. It is also one of the reasons you choose to make him a starter.
Deuce, I think it makes sense, right? I mean, you would think he would know the offense the most. And also, what about if Alvin Kamara can't play? I mean, he almost becomes your best, I guess, option in the backfield almost at times.
Yeah, you actually wonder how much, even with Kamara, if he does play, how much Taysom will actually go to him. I know the first thing is, you know, people always go to, you know, RPOs. I mean, why don't they do that with Taysom and you know, Kamara? But, you know, I was actually talking to Deuce and had him on the podcast earlier this week, Callister, and we're just like, you know, RPOs just don't work. I mean, they're not comfortable with it. I mean, you even see on the read option at times, Kamara is not super comfortable just having that ball sit there and getting pulled back, you know, so it's just an element that they don't really practice. So you wonder what all packages are they preparing this week for Taysom to run. I'm expecting a lot of, you know, scripted throws, some simple reads, and then a lot of misdirection. That's what I would expect to see to help not only Taysom diagnose the defense, but to keep Atlanta in confusion.
I think one of the things, too, that I was speaking about earlier this week, speaking with Deuce Windham of The Athletic, is if Jameis was going to be your quarterback, maybe there's some things you actually can do with the Saints offense that you hadn't been able to do, right? Taking some shots deep, using the mobility, rolling him in and out of pocket, misdirection. We saw a little bit of this with the Packers when they were here. I specifically brought up how Aaron Rodgers would start a handoff to the left side, and it'd be a play action. He rolls to the right, and he dumps it off to the tight end or somebody doing a crossing route towards the other sideline and moving things like that nature. That's things that Taysom Hill can do.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's we've actually seen him do that. Now, the thing is, does he always make the right read? I'm glad you brought up that play. They actually ran that exact play for Taysom against Carolina week 7. It was a play action handoff to Kamara. So you have a zone block to the left. You boot out to the right. Traquan came in a wheel route. Callaway cleared the field in the deep, and then you had Josh Hill underneath as that tight end with Taysom pulling out. Taysom went short, even though he read the defender, and he had Traquan open 15, 20 yards. So the real key is, when you have these plays, does Taysom make the right read and the right throw? You know, and sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he doesn't even worry about the read, and he just goes off, and there's 15, 20 yards of daylight for him to go for, and you can't complain when you get 20 yards. So that's, like I said, it goes back to the unpredictability. You can set everything up for Taysom. He may or may not get it, or he might do something completely unexpected, and that unexpected can be a great thing.
You love looking at X's and O's. You enjoy diagnosing and trying to figure out how the chess match aspect of a game goes. What intrigues me about this game is this. Raheem Morris has been a, you know, head coach in this division. Sean Payton's coached against him, and whether it's Jameis or even Taysom, I mean, there's familiarity with the teams, the coaching staff, maybe plays. I know it's different aspects of how the Falcons are, but I wonder if you've been able to look at all the Falcons and what they've done differently, or is it just simply executing better that has allowed them to win three of their last four?
It's a mixture of a lot of things. Execution has definitely been better. You've seen a defensive uptick, which is kind of funny considering what Dan Quinn was brought in to be. You've seen a definite uptick in the defensive performance. Not saying that they're doing great. I mean, they have big issues in third down. You know, we talked about the Saints being at one time their worst team in the red zone. As far as defensively, that's basically Atlanta now. They're allowing a touchdown 76% of the time a team gets into the red zone. But you've seen some of those numbers kind of drop a little bit, getting a little bit better in terms of just being consistent. And a lot of that is just simplifying things. You know, they're not playing at a high level. I mean, I think if you look at their opponents, they have been playing the Tampas or the Green Bays or, the Kansas City. And I realize they're still playing NFL talent, but there's something to be said when you're playing teams that have only, one or two more wins than you do. So I think that there's a lot that plays into that. The offense is not very turnover heavy, so that makes it a little bit easier to right the ship. You know, if you've got an offense that's prone to turnovers, it's really hard to overcome that. But if your defense, like the Saints defense, where your offense is very consistent in terms of driving the field and not turning it over, not giving you extra possessions, it's a little bit easier to right that boat because you're only seeing the field 40 to 50 snaps. And that's been the thing with the Falcons. If you can force that offense to make mistakes, you can really, really pick on that defense. If not, they become a pretty competitive ball club.
Let's get a little bit on that side of the football here. Just win them at the Athletic here about three more minutes. I think one of the things that stood out to me this week was Malcolm Jenkins saying, look, we are improving. Last week he said, look, this 49er offense presents certain challenges to us of things we've struggled early. We saw an opening drive, then things settled down. He also said this week, look, this is going to provide a different set of challenges and things that we need to do. How do you view the Saints defense matching up with Atlanta's offense?
I think the Saints defense has an advantage here because one thing that you want to do if you're Atlanta is get a lot of yards after the catch and you want to push the field, but that's something that the Saints have actually had a lot of success at. And they also want to attack the sidelines. You know, Calvin Ridley is one of the top receivers in the NFL in the out route, the speed out, you know, getting to that sideline and giving Matt Ryan a quick, easy throw for big yards, whether it's a first down or 8 yards to get closer to that. And that flip, though, Janoris Jenkins has been very, very good defending that. That's, so a lot of the strengths of Atlanta match up to the strengths of the Saints defense this year. Mm-hmm. If there is a player that you can look on, to get picked on, is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. And you've seen them try to rotate his assignment out from what we've seen earlier in the year, out of coverage a lot of times. Last week, he only spent about 50% of his snaps in coverage, and that used to be a lot higher. Now they're doing a lot more using him as an edge guy, bringing him down in the box because, when he gets picked on, he gives up yards after the catch. And I think it's definitely something he can improve on, get better at. But right now, he's somebody that teams have started targeting because they know they can get yards after the catch on him. So if you're looking at Atlanta, Russell Gage is probably the biggest receiver to worry about.
That's interesting you say that because as you're going through that, I'm thinking, but he had such a good game against the 49ers and that you hear a lot of his teammates say, man, he's really making an impact in doing that. So it's interesting that he could still have an impact in a game, yet still have some areas where the team's trying to help him out a little bit.
Yeah, he's been put in some great positions where he's succeeding. I mean, a lot of these blitzes off the edge and coming against the run as an edge defender and even short pass defenses, he's been strong. But there's also been plenty of times where he's the slot defender and, say, the team runs a crossing pattern over the middle that has a little rub route and there's some interference. He gets caught behind or he misses that coverage and it becomes a big play. And that's just a young player. I mean, it's his first year starting. So I'm not trying to, say the guy sucks, but he definitely has some tendencies that teams have started to focus on in recent weeks. And you can see that in the fact that I think it's the past four of the five games, he's given up like 20-plus yards and yards after the catch. So it's something you got to be mindful of as the defense while still knowing that he's a very, very good player. You just got to watch for people trying to put some matchups that he's not in the, in the winner's circle for.
All right, the Breeze injury, all this other stuff. Yeah, the NBA drafted away. I felt like I got cheated this week from my normal Falcon hate week. I don't feel like I'm bitter and I'm angry and I'm ready to get going on Sunday. It's getting there the closer it gets to kickoff at noon, though. How do you see this coming out on Sunday, man? By 3:30-ish, how am I going to be?
Oh, man, it's a tough one because I came into this like most people expecting Jameis. And my whole thought has been, how's Jameis done against Atlanta, which is actually historically really well. He's got like a 4-1 TD interception ratio. It's, the Taysom thing adds a complete new element. But in the same regard, I'm pretty confident Atlanta was expecting Jameis too. I think they were like the rest of us and expecting, oh, well, here's the new backup. We'll go at that. So it's a big unexpected. I'll tell you this. I expected a Saints double-digit win regardless of the Vegas line coming in with Jameis. And I'm going to stick to that. I still think the Saints are the superior team, and the strengths that Atlanta has match up to what the Saints are also good at. So I don't feel like they have a particular area that's better than our weakness that they can exploit. So I trust the Saints to be the better team with the better coaching staff, but it is a divisional game, and you know those can go any way.
I love it. I'm ready for it. I can't wait to see it. I think it'll be fun, and look, you add the element of a rivalry, and you add the fact that I think whether it's Jameis or Taysom, I think both QBs, Deuce, want to prove themselves. So let's see what happens, man. At Rev Deuce Windham is the way to follow you over on Twitter. The Saints X's and O's guy over there for The Athletic, and we always appreciate your time. Happy Thanksgiving, man, if I don't get to talk to you before then. Thank you.
Thank you.
When we come back, Mr. Ken Berthelot's big old game, Jordan, in high school football there. You wouldn't happen to know what big old... You know what? Just for the next segment, I'm going to put on a special face covering just for you. You'll see what I'm talking about. We come back on Sports Hangover. Ha-ha! On ESPN New Orleans. Bring us back to where they've led. Listen not to what's been said to you.
Don't you know where I've been? Great year-end savings start now. At Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Huge discounts, plus year-end incentives make now the best time to upgrade at Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Super year-end deals. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners marked on sale. Plus, get up to $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book for your trade. The time is now for super year-end pricing. Check out the inventory online at GregLeBlancToyota.com or at Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Hollywood Road in Houma.
Hi, this is Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. It's been a hot summer and it's not over yet. I bet there are a lot of you whose AC could not keep up with temperature humidity control. If you fit into this category or just need a checkup, repair, or a heat load calculation, call AC Ambulance. We've been in business since 1979. We proudly sell Daikin backed by a 12-year parts and labor warranty and the best financing in the business. So don't take a chance. Call the ambulance. It's 467-1400 or check us out online at acambulance.com.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Uh-oh, Buddy sounds like he's excited. He's ready for Falcon Hate Week. Huh? We need some good news, some good talk, and thankfully the news of Taysom Hill likely to be your starter on Sunday. Mr. Ken Berthelot, who now joins us to talk a little prep football, kind of takes away a little of that distraction from what took place last night in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I have referred to that place as a house of horrors. No one wants to believe me. There you go. It's a house of horrors. How you doing, Mr. Ken Berthelot?
Well, before we even say that, I heard you mention Taysom Hill. You know, I'm kind of excited that he's gonna get that start, because I just find that you're seeing more and more of that kind of quarterback. You know, that they took over the college ranks. And that's the way the college game went and made it more explosive. And I think you're seeing more and more of that happening in the pros. And as Drew Brees steps down and retires, I think that's the kind of quarterback that Sean Payton wants, a mobile quarterback, somebody who can throw it, somebody who can run it and do it. It just widens the field. It opens so much up. Anyway, don't want to get caught up in that. You talked about that already, but then I had to get my 2 cents in because I'm excited for Taysom Hill. I think it's going to be fun to watch.
No, that's fine. So look, give us a 2 cents and a half here. How do you see Sunday? Will Saints win?
Yeah, you know what? I'm the one that didn't pick them for that. I didn't think they could go down to Tampa and beat Tom Brady. So, yeah, after that game, I said, until I'm proven wrong, I'm staying with the Saints. I'm picking them. You know, it's one of those things, you ride them while they're hot, and go ahead and whether you spot or take the points, doesn't matter. Figure it out. Ride them while they are hot until they prove they go down. So you got to stay with them. It's a good thing.
Speak with Mr. Ken Berthelot.
Let me make an analogy. You can enjoy. It's like if you're at the craps table, you're going to stay with that shooter until he's hot, right? Until he's sevens out. So there you go, Gus. I thought you would have pulled that one on me.
No, I don't know about all that. Jordan's our gambler here, a resident gambler in the studio here. What? What are you talking about?
I have to go to another state. I mean, I can't be gambling.
I didn't say it was here. Ken.
Sports gambling.
Not anyway. That I would be doing any of those things, but obviously when it comes to the kids, we'll get into a big, big game because I actually, I have it right here, Jordan. Brother Martin sent me a little face covering as an alumni here. And for the segment, I pulled it out here. Mr. Berthelot, kind of a big game in high school
football. It was painful last year. You were talking about last night, the painful one to watch?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, two three-game winning streaks broken. The winning streak, they had beaten Tulsa three times in a row. That's gone. Tulane had a three-game winning streak that looked like they were pulling out a couple of years ago all over again, where, you know, 2-5 and then won a bunch of them and get that record up above 500 and look fantastic going into your bowl game. And mm-hmm. Oh, man. You know, and then, goodness gracious, they get into overtime. You think you've got it. It looks like just take it down, boom, get it done. Oh, it was just not meant to be.
So I'll tell you what, let's make it a lot better. It's a beautiful day outside. Let's get into, obviously, as I mentioned, the Brother Martin Curtis game, kind of a big game here over on CST tonight. You're going to be calling that one. How big is this one, man?
You know, in high school terms, I got to tell you, this is about as big as they come, because not only will it determine, well, it could determine the outright champion. Brother Martin's undefeated. They're 6-0. So they're 3-0 in the district, and if they win, then 9-5A is theirs. The importance of that, Gus, is they would get the bye for the first week. And right now with COVID and resting and all the uncertainty and everybody antsy, just to let your team settle down and get ready for week number two of the playoffs is very important. So that's critical. Number two, if they lose, if they don't win this game, then you've got a long jam at the top, because then Brother Martin would have their first loss. Rummel, Curtis, and St. Aug all have one loss. So, and let me tell you, and I'm not even quite sure how the tiebreaker would work there, but once they get that tiebreaker figured out, somebody by the virtue of rules is going to have, or maybe two teams, depending on how the brackets go, we'll get that first-round bye, and that's important. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the first-round bracket pairing show is Sunday morning at 11 a.m., and CST is carrying that live. So if you want to see how your both select and non-select brackets are going to go, there's 9 brackets for select, 9 brackets for non-select. Sunday morning, 11 a.m., CST's got it, and I guarantee you there'll be a lot of people watching that one. As a matter of fact, I think it's the committee is hunkered down, or maybe not. They might not be in the hotel yet, but I think everybody who's on the pairings committee and then all the committees will be watching this game on CST tonight to try to figure out what happened. And it's interesting in that Curtis has 3 losses on the season, but only 1 in district. But look who they lost to. My goodness, Curtis has lost to the last year's 5A champion, all right, in Rummel, last year's 4A champion in Carr, last year's 3A champion in Acadiana, and enrollment-wise, Curtis is 2A. Right. But they play up to 5A. So how good are the Curtis Patriots, even with 3 losses? One of those games they had to put together quickly because they had lost the game due to COVID restrictions. So it's going to be a good one tonight. Garrett Mamahat's the quarterback for Brother Martin. He's a junior. He's been the starter since midway through his freshman year when the then starter got hurt. He was thrown into it, and he has really come around. He's got great football genes. His mom and dad were both great athletes. Kevin Mamahat at Tulane went on to the show a little bit for a few years there. And Gina was a good athlete in her own right. So, man, he hasn't let anybody down, and he is the heart and soul of that team. We have to see if Jalen Spears had missed a game or two because of injury. He's their top running back, but whether they've got a plethora of good running backs at Brother Morton. They don't throw the ball very much. They throw it about, if you want to average it out, about 4 or 5 times a quarter. So that's not a whole lot. They really like to just pound that ball at you, and that's what Curtis is going to have to stop. Curtis has got a junior quarterback who replaced 4-year starter Colin Guggenheim, who had gone on to Army. And he's made 1 or 2 little bitty kind of inexperienced mistakes that maybe didn't help him. Maybe, I'm not going to say it cost Curtis a game, but if you don't make it, they might have a better chance to come back and win it. For instance, I'll give you an example. Last week when they played Rummel, a play broke down, and he wasn't watching, and he kind of pitched it back, and his pitch man wasn't there, and they lost about 20-something on the play, and it stopped them on a drive, which could have been the winning touchdown for them, and they weren't able to really complete that drive. You won't see that happen as he grows and matures. He's a junior. He's coming back next year. He's run this program since 8th grade, or been a part of the program since 8th grade. And if you're going to get Curtis, this might be the year you have to get him, because they've got a lot of seniors. They've always got a great crop of players ready to come up and replace them, and they do again this year. The strength of their program is in some of their younger players. Going to be a fun game to watch tonight at 7 o'clock on CST.
Looking forward to seeing that for sure, sir. Finally, got about a minute and a half here. Got to get your take on LSU up at Arkansas. It was interesting. We spoke with Chris Player, voice of the Tigers, yesterday, and he almost looked at this as, I wouldn't even say a gut check, if I can get further than what a gut check sort of is. Player-only meeting led by Terrence Marshall, trying to kind of ask players, do you really want to be here or not, facing a team that's basically playing on guts in Arkansas. They don't have the talent, perhaps, that they would like in the next future year. So I think it's an interesting game, right?
It's an interesting game in that, for all the reasons you just said, and the fact that, yes, LSU's missing a lot of people, missing a lot of personnel, but Arkansas is thin because of either injuries or players who may have come down with, I believe, some COVID tests. I'm not quite sure how that worked there, but I know they're not up to speed. Here's the thing that happens here. LSU has had enough distractions, as has many programs with everything going on. Now they've got the extra distractions of all the player misconduct, possible sexual allegations that weren't handled right. We don't know if that's true or not. The point is, whether it's true or not, here's what happened. What happens is the reports are out there, the focus is coming in, and it takes players' minds off of the game in the season. And you know, Gus, when you get your mind off of football, it's easy to get distracted and lose focus. So I like what Terrence Marshall did. I know they had a great headline in The Advocate calling it the Marshall Plan. Focus. Focus on exactly what you just described a few minutes ago. And let's remember that we're LSU. Let's come back and win some football games. So it's going to be a fun game to watch tomorrow morning. And then again, as that game comes to an end or during commercials, flip over and watch the pairing show on CST.
Look at that. See, this is why you're a Hall of Famer, man. This is why you're a professional. Thank you so much, man. Every Friday, enjoy talking to you, and enjoy the call, brother. Martin Curtis, 7 o'clock on CST. Thank you, sir.
We will. Thank you very much.
Well, there he goes. Hour 1 has been brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. Jared Weiss, Deuce Windham, Ken Berthlaw. That was Hour 1. Next hour, Rafael Esparza, Carlos Medina will go to Atlanta. We'll go to Atlanta playing championship football up there in the city of the ATL. Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
When you need health-related answers quickly, you want the